Imagine this. You walk into a small town hall. You just need a copy of something, maybe a local rule, maybe a budget report. Seems simple, right? Routine, even.
Yeah, you'd think so.
But, you know, sometimes the really deep principles of democracy, the foundations of how things should work, they aren't in some grand speech. They're hidden in the details, maybe in the arguments of a single court case.
That's so often true. The devil really is in the details, or maybe the democratic spirit is.
Exactly. So today, we're doing a deep dive into exactly that kind of situation. We're looking at a Florida Supreme Court case, Fuller v. State ex rel. O'Donnell. It was decided way back on April 21st, 1944.
1944, wartime.
Right. And the core question sounds almost trivial. What happens when a citizen just wants to make a copy of a public record?
And for you listening, we know you're already well-versed in open government law. You get the basics, the importance of transparency.
So this isn't just about the technical bits of Florida law from the 40s.
Not at all. It's about how this specific ruling, this Filler case, laid down some really fundamental philosophical ideas about open government. Ideas that honestly still hit hard today.
It gives you the why behind the rules we have now.
Precisely. We'll explore why something as simple as making a copy became, well, a battleground for democratic ideals.
Okay, let's set the scene a bit. Who are the players here?
Well, you had the appellant, Fuller. He was the town clerk for Surfside, Florida. So he's the one appealing a lower court's decision.
Got it. And on the other side?
The appellees, the folks who won initially and were defending that win, were O'Donnell and some other citizens from Surfside.
And what did O'Donnell and the others want?
They went to court seeking a mandamus.
Right. That's a court order telling a public official to do something specific, perform their duty.
Exactly. They wanted the court to order Fuller, the clerk, to let them not just look at the town of Surfside's public records, but crucially, to let them make copies.
Okay. So the copying part was the key issue. What was Fuller's argument against that?
Well, this is where it gets interesting. Fuller actually wasn't trying to block all access. He admitted, yeah, citizens had a right to inspect the records.
He conceded that point.
He did. He acknowledged the relevant law, section 119.01 of the Florida statutes back then. It said pretty clearly, all state, county, and municipal records shall at all times be open for personal inspection, and officials shall not refuse this privilege.
So inspection, yes. Copies, no.
That was his line in the sand. He argued that the right to inspect under that statute simply did not include the right to make copies.
Why would that distinction matter so much to him, do you think? I mean, it sounds a bit like splitting hairs.
Maybe today it does, but think about it from his perspective then. Control, maybe? If people can copy things, the information travels further, faster, maybe gets used in ways a clerk doesn't like, or perhaps just the sheer inconvenience of supervising copying back then.
Yeah, that makes sense. No photocopiers readily available, probably.
Right. But fundamentally, it's about who controls the narrative, who controls the information once it leaves the building. If you can only look, you have to rely on memory, maybe brief notes. Copies give you permanence, accuracy, shareability.
It limits the citizen's power if they can't copy.
Absolutely. How effective is transparency if you can't actually use the information freely?
So how did the Florida Supreme Court handle this?
They didn't mince words. Justice Terrell, writing for the court, basically said Fuller's argument had no merit right off the bat.
Okay, so they shut it down quickly. What was their reasoning?
Their first point was pure common sense, really practical.
Okay.
The court said, and this is a key quote, the best reasoned authority in this country holds that the right to inspect public records carries with it the right to make copies.
So inspection implies copying.
Yes, and here's the crucial why on that practical level. This on the theory that the right to inspect would in many cases be valueless without the right to make copies.
Valueless. That's a strong word.
It is. Think about it. You go in, you look at a complex budget document or a lengthy zoning proposal.
Right. You can't possibly memorize it all.
Exactly. Or maybe you need to show it to your neighbors or consult an expert. If you can't make a copy, take it with you, study it, share it. What good was looking at it in the first place?
The inspection right becomes almost hollow in many situations.
That's what the court saw. Access without the ability to record or duplicate. Often functionally useless.
Okay, so that's the practical argument. Seems straightforward enough, but you mentioned there was more to it.
Oh, yeah. This is where the case really elevates itself, why we're still talking about it. The court went way beyond just the practical need. They dived into the deep end, philosophically speaking.
Into the meaning of democracy itself.
Pretty much. They used this really striking analogy. They described a municipality, a town like Surfside, not just as, you know, a local government body, but as, listen to this, one of the integers of democracy.
An integer. Like a whole number, a fundamental part.
Exactly, a basic building block. And then they said, the people who constitute the municipality are its owners and stockholders. Its officers are nothing more than its agents.
Wow, owners and stockholders. That flips the script.
Doesn't it? It's not the government over here and the people over there. No, it says the citizens own the government, the officials. They just work for the citizens, their agents.
And an agent can't really deny the owner access to their own stuff, can they?
That's the powerful implication. How could an agent logically refuse the owner the ability to fully examine and, yes, copy the records of the owner's own business, so to speak?
That reframes the whole debate. It's not about the government granting a privilege. It's about the owners exercising a right.
Precisely. And the court didn't stop there. They brought in some heavy hitters. They actually invoked Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, really? What did they quote?
His famous warning, "Every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves are the only safe depositories."
Powerful words. How did the court connect that to copying records?
They said that denying citizens the right to copy their own records would give countenance to the very evil that Jefferson warned against. It essentially helps that degeneration along by keeping the owners, the people, in the dark, or at least making it harder for them to be fully informed.
So restricting access, even just the copying part, enables government to potentially degenerate. Because the people can't easily act as those safe depositories.
That's the idea. And they weren't finished. They brought in Lincoln, too.
Lincoln? How?
They argued that upholding the clerk's refusal to allow copies would make rubbish of the well-known trilogy of Abraham Lincoln.
Government of the people, by the people, for the people.
That's the one. The court warned that instead of that ideal, if you deny this access, we would have government by petty autocrats.
Petty autocrats. Strong language again. They're saying even a town clerk acting this way is acting like a little tyrant.
In essence, yes. They saw it as fundamentally anti-democratic. It wasn't just a procedural issue. It cut to the heart of who holds the power and how that power is kept in check. Transparency, including the ability to copy, is positioned as a direct antidote to autocratic tendencies, even small ones.
It really underscores that democracy requires active, informed citizens, not just passive observers.
Absolutely. And then, right in the middle of all this high-minded talk of Jefferson and Lincoln, the opinion takes this unexpected, almost folksy turn.
Oh, what happened?
Justice Terrell shares this little anecdote. He says, "I once heard a very distinguished circuit judge say that he never permitted another to feed his dog, that he always performed this duty himself because he wanted his dog to know to whom he was indebted for his daily bread."
Huh. Feeding his dog. How does that fit in?
He follows it up with, "There's a mine of wisdom in this philosophy. The connection seems to be about knowing where things come from, about direct accountability."
Okay, I see. Like, the dog needs to know who provides for it.
Right. And citizens, the court implies, need direct access to the workings of their government, the records, to truly understand who is responsible, who they are indebted to for the government's functions, which ultimately circles back to themselves, the owners.
It's about maintaining that direct line of sight, that direct understanding, so accountability doesn't get fuzzy.
Exactly. It prevents officials, the agents, from obscuring their actions or making citizens feel indebted to the bureaucracy rather than the other way around. It keeps the power dynamic clear.
That's actually a surprisingly powerful analogy from a simple story.
Isn't it? And they wrap up this whole philosophical section with this almost, I don't know, optimistic vision for public servants.
What do they hope for?
They hoped that if every administrative board, every official, they use the term bureaucrat, could grasp this philosophy, if they had the intellectual keenness to imbibe it and the humility to shape his conduct accordingly.
Humility, that's key.
Very key. Then the court hoped the term bureau and bureaucrat would cease to stink when pronounced and would in turn be assigned a place of respect and favor in the lexicon of democracy.
Wow. They're basically saying, if you public officials truly understood you work for the people and acted like it, you'd be respected instead of resented.
That's the core message. It's a call for a fundamental shift in attitude from gatekeeping to genuine service. True public service, rooted in humility and transparency, earns respect.
So bringing this all together for you listening, this isn't just some historical footnote from Florida. Fuller is this really profound statement about you, the citizen, being the sovereign.
It says transparency, including the right to copy, isn't just a nice to have. It's essential fuel for democracy. It prevents that decay Jefferson warned about.
It puts the responsibility on government to be open, yes, but also implies a responsibility on us, the citizens, to actually use that access.
Right. Now, the court, being practical, didn't just declare an absolute unfettered right to copy anything anytime. They did address the logistics.
They had to, right. The clerks still had a job to do, records to protect.
Exactly. The court acknowledged that Fuller, the town clerk, was still the custodian of the records. He was responsible for their safety.
So it wasn't a free-for-all.
No. The ruling stated that when a citizen asks to inspect or copy, it was the clerk's duty to make provision for this to be done in such reasonable manner as will accommodate the applicant and at the same time safeguard the records.
Reasonable manner, accommodate the citizen, safeguard the records. That sounds like a balancing act.
It is. The right is fundamental, but exercising it needs to be practical and can't jeopardize the very records you want to see. It requires, well, reasonableness on both sides.
Which leads to their closing thought on this, right? About how to make it work in practice.
Yes, and it's quite insightful, they said. There is always a field for the operation of reason and charity in such controversies.
Reason and charity. Interesting combination.
In a way to protect the municipality and accommodate the one who desires the inspection if the parties are disposed to find it.
If the parties are disposed to find it. That puts the onus on both the official and the citizen to approach it with the right attitude.
Exactly. It acknowledges that laws and rights are crucial, but making them work smoothly day to day often comes down to human interaction. A little understanding, a little flexibility, a genuine effort to find common ground.
It suggests that conflict isn't inevitable if both sides operate with, well, reason and maybe a bit of goodwill charity.
It's a call for collaboration within the legal framework. Don't just stand on your rights or your authority. Try to find a way that works for everyone while upholding the core principles.
Okay, so let's quickly recap. Fuller v. O'Donnell did two main things. First, practically, it said the right to inspect public records means nothing without the right to copy them.
Right. Access needs to be meaningful.
And second, much more profoundly, it painted this picture of democracy where citizens are the owners, officials are the agents, and full transparency is vital to prevent government by petty autocrats.
It connected that simple act of copying directly to the health of the entire democratic system, invoking Jefferson and Lincoln along the way.
And it reminded everyone that making these rights work in the real world requires reason, maybe even a little charity from all involved.
So here's something to think about as we wrap up. This case from 1944 gave us this powerful vision connecting physical records access to citizen power. Now, fast forward to today.
Right. Digital records everywhere. Information overload, almost.
Exactly. Theoretically, access is easier than ever. So how does that call from 1944 for reason and charity play out now in this digital landscape?
Does instant access change the dynamic?
And maybe more importantly, with so much information potentially at our fingertips, what new responsibilities does this place on us, on you, the listener, as one of those owners and stockholders?
Responsibilities to not just access it, but to actually use it, to understand it, to engage thoughtfully.
Does this unprecedented access demand more from us to truly fulfill that role of the safe depositories Jefferson talked about, especially when navigating the sheer volume and complexity of information available today?